Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Paul writes, "It is necessary to brag, not that it does any good. I'll move on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who was caught up into the third heaven 14 years ago. I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body, God knows. I know that this man was caught up into paradise and that he heard unspeakable words that were things no one is allowed to repeat. I don't know whether it was in the body or apart from the body, God knows. I'll brag about this man, but I won't brag about myself except to brag about my weaknesses. If I did want to brag, I wouldn't make a fool of myself because I'd tell the truth. I'm holding back from bragging so that no one will give me any more credit than what anyone sees or hears about me. I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I'd received so that I wouldn't be conceited. It's a messenger from Satan sent to torment me so that I wouldn't be conceited. I pleaded with the Lord three times for it to leave me alone. He said to me, 'My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me. Therefore, I'm all right with weaknesses, insults, disasters, harassments, and stressful situations. For the sake of Christ, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong.'" Oh Lord, this is not an easy passage to understand. It's not an easy passage to wrap our hearts or our minds around. So we ask for your help today. And I pray, Lord, for any that are with us today that do feel weak, who are suffering, that today maybe your spirit would meet with them in this place and bring comfort to their souls. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are going to wrap up a series that we've been calling the Season of Joy. Now that doesn't mean the joy has to end. Just the sermon series is coming to an end today. And today we're going to talk about joy in suffering. Joy in suffering, which may for you sound like a contradiction. It may sound like an impossibility. It may sound like an oxymoron. And I get that. I've battled chronic pain most of my adult life. Some of you are aware of that. Some days are better than others. Some days are worse than others. But there's not a single day that I'm not in some sort of pain. It affects my waking and affects my sleeping. It affects my energy and my motivation. It hinders me. It limits my activities and some things I just can't do at all anymore, which I don't deal with very well, to be honest. Pain has been now for decades the filter through which I experience life. I don't like it. I hate it. I loathe it. I wrestle with it every day. I don't like other kinds of pain either. I don't care for emotional pain, psychological pain, relational pain, or any other form of pain we might endure. But for me, physical pain has been my particular struggle. And just so you don't need to come to me and give me advice about what I haven't tried yet, I'll give you the list. I've tried acupuncture, meditation, breathing exercises, chiropractic. I've tried every kind of diet. I've tried every kind of vitamin, every herbal remedy and supplement. I've done yoga and deep stretching. I've been to Shands. I don't like going to Shands. It's in Gainesville, but I've been to Shands. I've been to Cleveland Clinic. I've been to Mayo. I've been to Advent Health here in town. I've visited with sleep doctors, neurologists, pain specialists, nutritionists, rheumatologists, surgeons, physical therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, and physiologists. I've done extensive searches on the web. I've had blood tests, scans, MRIs, sleep studies, and surgeries. And most of it hasn't been very helpful. That's the fact. I do keep moving, and some days I do more than I probably should, and I pay the price later. Probably some of you are not surprised to hear this. Just by watching me move, you can see that something isn't quite right. Or maybe you haven't, and you just wonder what the heck's wrong with me. The thing is, I know I'm not the only one. A lot of us struggle with pain, some with physical pain, but others with other kinds of pain. All of us deal with pain in some way at some point, even if it isn't chronic. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe my personal experience has sort of filtered the way I see life and assume what is true for you. But if I'm wrong, tell me why there are so many aisles of painkillers at the drugstore. Tell me why so many people are addicted to prescription medications or other forms of narcotics. Tell me why there is a constant increase in the number of people taking antidepressants and anxiety medicines. Tell me why there's so much escapist behavior. Tell me why alcohol abuse increased during the pandemic and has continued to increase statistically since the pandemic. Tell me why suicide rates continue to increase, lowering average life expectancy in our country. If I'm the only one struggling with pain, please tell me why all of these other things are happening. I'm convinced we hate pain. All of us hate pain, and we'll do almost anything we can to avoid it or numb it. Just fix it. One of my doctors said, "I'm sorry, you're not a ham. I can't cure you. You're not a cat. I can't fix you." At best, we can manage our pain, I think. I've often said that the passage I read earlier is my least favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible. In fact, I hate it so much that for years I just refused to preach about it. I just wouldn't do it. But God broke me down. Paul writes, "My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me. Therefore, I'm all right with weaknesses, insults, disasters, harassment, and stressful situations for the sake of Christ. Because I'm weak, then I'm strong." And to that I say, give me a break. Weak, strong when I'm weak, grace is sufficient. That's not the answer I ever want. I want to know that you can fix me. I want to know, God, that you will cure me. But what Paul is describing, I believe, is the pervasive reality of our human condition. And no one escapes it. Not one of us escape it. Every one of us has gotten sick and will get sick again. All of us at some point will get injured, even if it's just falling down and scraping our knee or something more significant. We all experience loss and disappointment. We all get our feelings hurt. We all struggle with insecurities and doubts and fears and guilt and regrets, and all of that is painful. C.S. Lewis once said, "The real problem is not why some pious, humble, believing people suffer, but why some do not." And I assume he means why it appears that some do not, because I don't think anyone escapes it. Pastor Emily recently referred to a professor at Duke Divinity School named Kate Bowler. She says that nothing will exempt me from the pain of being human. Kate Bowler is a young seminary professor, a young mom, a young wife, and recently, fairly recently in her life, somebody who has battled cancer. And just think about the pain that she's endured as a human. Cancer, for one, the treatments, for another, the side effects of those treatments, the fears that she might die at a young age, abandoning her young husband and her young child. Think about the setbacks to her career academically when she's not been able to move forward because of her illness. "Nothing will exempt me," she says, "from the pain of being human. Dallas Willard says, pain is not in itself evil at all. We just don't like it. Amen? Right? We just don't like it. It does feel evil sometimes, but that's just not the way it is. Pain is just part of life. It's inevitable. Like I said, we all get sick or injured. We all will face death. We all experience loss. We have struggles in relationships. We deal with doubts and insecurities. It's inevitable. In fact, just think for a moment about the discomfort we're feeling in this moment because there's no AC on. Isn't that a privileged way of thinking about comfort? The vast majority of the world from this day to the beginning of time have experienced a much more difficult existence than the vast majority of us ever will. People live as victims of abuse. People live as refugees their entire lives, living in camps. People live in fear and torment just because of where they were born. Victims of war, victims of famine and disease, victims of poverty, victims of natural disasters. For many, it's just a way of life. It was about 16 years ago, I had the privilege of going to Angola. If you don't know where Angola is, it's on the west coast of Africa. Very poor nation that had experienced a very, very violent, long civil war that never really resolved itself very well. I had recently had knee surgery when I went to Angola. It was elective. It was just to help with some pain in my knee from an old injury. The recovery had been a little bit of a challenge, but by the time of the trip, I was in pretty good shape. I didn't know that when we got to Angola, we would mostly be riding in cars a lot every day. And so every day I'd get into a very old, very cramped car filled with too many people on very bad roads, riding way too far, and my knee would ache, and I would get a little grumpy about it. Now, I was thankful I had some pain medicine, and I had had some good therapy before the trip, and I was really in pretty good shape. But what I noticed on that trip, on those long rides, was the shocking number of folks shuffling, limping along the roads, standing at roadsides, at intersections, with crutches, with canes, with obvious disabilities and disfigurement, people that had been born with birth defects or just had suffered from long, hard lives, people that had been injured and hadn't had treatment to fix those injuries, and many who are missing limbs. Angola is the most landmined country in the world, or at least it was at that time. And it occurred to me in my minor discomfort as I was watching many, many people who had obviously been in this condition for very long, that they didn't have opportunities as I had for elective surgery or medical treatments or pain medication or even Advil. For them, pain had just been part of their human experience. Richard Rohr says, there's a certain way the gospel is heard when one's stomach is empty, and a very different way it's heard when a people is satisfied. The gospel was first heard by people who were longing and thirsty, who were poor and oppressed in one sense or another. They knew their needs and their emptiness. Those are the people that Jesus spoke to. And so I wonder sometimes, as much as I dislike pain, how much my experience as a North American, as someone living in a comfortable society, a modern, advanced society that claims that we have cures for everything, how much that experience shapes my expectations around pain and around relief and around comforts and cures. And I wonder how that shapes my views, my struggle, my wonder about experiencing joy in the midst of suffering. And so as I share kind of my story today, it's not so that you pity me. I don't want that. If I wanted that, I would have talked about it 4 years ago when I first got here. I don't talk about this very often. My point is that I think we all struggle with this. And I think sometimes we think that when things are going well, God is blessing us. But when something goes bad, where did you go, God? Where are you now? And I want you to tell, I struggle with that. and where I'm hoping to find a place spiritually, I'm still working on it, and I'd like to help you find it as well, is to believe that when we're suffering, God is with us. The suffering is not a sign of God's abandonment. That maybe the problem isn't with God, the problem is with our expectations. Let me just say a quick word, and we'll kind of leave this to the side from now on, but there's a difference between joy and happiness. We've said that all along the way. Happiness is largely circumstantial, and so if my current circumstance is painful, it might be hard to be happy. Does that make sense? Right? But joy is deeper. Joy is something more profound. Joy is rooted not in my circumstances, but deeper things, and so it's possible that we can hold on to joy even when we suffer. And so this passage that I was reading about Paul and his struggle with his suffering, he talks in this passage both about having heavenly visions, which sounds great, but also about having a thorn in his flesh that has tormented him. You ever gotten a thorn from a rose or from bougainvillea? Right? I grow cactus. I get little stickers in my hands all the time. They're not fun. I don't think Paul is talking about a literal thorn. I think he's talking about some sort of struggle, that it's a metaphor. You know, the thorn is metaphorical. The Message version just says he had a handicap. We don't know what that is. Was it physical pain? Was it emotional? Was it temptation? Was it a spiritual weakness? We don't know. It could have been all of them. But it says he prayed, right? 2 Corinthians 12:7-8, it says, I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I've received so that I wouldn't be conceited. He's trying to processing why this happened. He says, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times for it to leave me alone. I can tell you about my pain, I've prayed more than 3 times. I think maybe he's downplaying it a little bit. And when I pray for relief, that's what I want. I demand, God, make me feel better now. It hasn't happened. To be honest, I have a growing doubt that it will. Does that mean I lack hope? Does that mean I've given up on God? Does it mean I lack faith? Maybe. Or maybe it's I'm trying to relearn and reframe my expectations to find God in a different way. So Paul says, in response to his request that God take away his thorn, that God said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is sufficient. My power is perfect in your weakness. When you're weak, I am strong. And like I said, mostly that's not the answer I want to hear God say. But it's a message I'm trying to embrace. Some of you may remember our friend Steve Harper, who writes, we may never know why things happen as they do, but we do know that God is not the author of evil. We may find ourselves caught in a net of mystery when it comes to understanding the days of our lives, but we can always know that God isn't taking any delight in the bad things that happen to us or to anyone else. Let me just be honest. I don't have an answer here. I don't know how to comprehend why a good, all-powerful God can't or won't eliminate suffering in the world. I don't get it. God and I are going to talk about it someday. But this side, what I'm trying to do is grow in my trust that God truly does care about our suffering. God isn't oblivious to it. God doesn't turn a blind eye to it. God cares. In some way that I can't begin to wrap my head around, God is present in suffering, maybe even redemptively present. That God is a comforter and a sustainer even when we don't realize we're being comforted. That our pain doesn't have to make us bitter. And that maybe even pain is an opportunity to grow in our compassion and empathy for others who are also suffering. I don't know what it means, but I keep trying to trust Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. God does not cause pain. Hear that. Whatever pain you're experiencing, God didn't cause it. Life did that. But I also believe God refuses to let our sufferings go to waste when there's an opportunity for us to learn and grow. And maybe that's how we find joy in the suffering, though it's a bit disguised, knowing that God is always with us, knowing that God cares, knowing that there is a strength and a comfort even when I'm not aware, and hoping as best we can for a better future. By clinging to the promise of Nehemiah 8:10, don't be sad, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Henry Nouwen writes, joy is a gift that even when we're sorrowful, even when we're in pain, even when things are difficult in our lives, the joy that Jesus offers is a joy that exists in very, very difficult situations. You probably know I've done a lot of weddings. Sometimes people ask me how many weddings I've done. I don't know. I've done so many weddings. And I always do it in a fairly traditional way. I always use the traditional vows, though there's been an increasing sort of move I've noticed in recent years that couples want to kind of write their own vows to each other. That's a beautiful thing. I don't object to that at all. It's very personal. But I always encourage the couple, even when they want to do sort of personal vows, also to do traditional vows, because I think there's something that's honest and wise about the traditional vow. And you've heard it. If you've ever seen a wedding on a movie or TV show, you've heard them. To have and to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death, this is my solemn vow. I love the honesty of that, right? Typically, when we write our own vows on our wedding day, it's full of love and sentiment and these kind of very grand statements. But the traditional vows are just honest. On a wedding day, what we hope for the couple is all the good stuff, for better, right? For health, for richer. That's all we want for the couple. But inevitably, if there's anybody in the room that's been married more than 5 minutes, they can't affirm that it just didn't like that, right? It's not that marriage causes us the difficulty. It's that in marriage, we'll deal with difficulties together, that there will be harder times, poorer times, sicker times. And the great wisdom of the wedding vow is the line to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. How is it that I can promise I'm going to stay with you through better, worse, richer, poorer, sickness and health? Because I promise to love and cherish you until we are parted by death. That's the vow I made to my wife and she made to me. It's the vow many of you made to each other, that no matter what happens, I will be with you. Isn't that the vow God makes to us? That no matter what happens, that's not a sign of abandonment. I am with you in your struggles. Today we're going to honor our graduates in this service and the next. And I think similarly to a wedding, we want to say to our graduates, life's going to be great. You're about to start a great adventure that's going to be full of happiness and success, and nothing will ever stop you, and we mean it. And you're going to face some challenges, and you're going to face some setbacks, and you're going to have some hardships, and you're going to cry, right? And by the way, those things make us stronger and more resilient too. And that's why your faith matters. Don't abandon your faith. Don't graduate from your faith as you graduate from high school. In the next few years, you may need it more than ever. And in fact, in the next few years, in your years of college, you may find opportunities to grow it and deepen it and strengthen it so you know whatever you face, you don't face it alone. Friends, like I said, I know I'm not the only one that struggles with pain in the room. I'm not the only one that suffers. We all do. I'm not the only one, I'm sure, who's ever prayed, God, just make this hurt go away. To all of us, for whatever it means today, the encouragement from the Lord is, I'm with you. My grace, my strength is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. When you're weak, God is strong. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let's pray. And so, Lord, if that at all spoke to anyone in the room, if it touched on a pain of any kind, will you, in some mysterious ways that we can't begin to understand, come and wrap your loving arms around each one of us? Even in our weakness, will you be strong for us? Comfort us, love us, Lord, as you do each day, and help us to know it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.